A 30 Moment with Dewey Phillips.
Running right through the front door. Tell them Phillips sent you down at Red Hot and Blue. The next 15 minutes of Red Hot and Blue is coming to you to courtesy of that good old Meager Flower. We're going to play the next record for Leanne Sandwich, for Erna Keane, Anna L. Sandwich, for Kathy, for W.J. Johnson, also for Yuma Black, for Ernie Black, for Porter, for Ruby Young, I believe it is, for Carpa Monroe Williams, and the title is Sage. You ever get booted? But here's a record that's getting hot, man. Booted by Roscoe Garden.
Man, have you ever been booted?
You said booted?
Yeah, man, booted.
Booted?
I'm gonna find my baby, I'm gonna find.
All right, this is Sean Hollywood Hamilton, and now let's talk about the 1980s. Top 40 came back with a vengeance in the 80s, and now it was called CHR. 8-tracks bit the dust big time, and recordable cassettes caused record executives to panic. In the early 80s, out of nowhere, MTV soared through America's cable systems, and CDs started showing up all over the place, sending music sales to the moon. The 80s were also all about drum machines, synthesizers, and samples. Let's not forget about Michael Jackson, Madonna, Born in the USA, and arena concerts. It was the decade that brought us new wave, classic rock, heavy metal, and yes, rap. Here's an audio snapshot of the 1980s.
Record flashback.
Dirty Thoughts.
When Motown exploded, soul radio exploded. And the black artist who had been there before suddenly got bigger. And then the Philly sound came in. So now you have the Philly sound and the Motown sound. This was all in the 60s and the 70s.
Hip-hop is just another form of funk. And in many ways, it's a form of communication.
And some may sound mean and offensive, but sometimes that's the only way that these rappers can express themselves. Marvin Gaye probably expressed himself more effectively in his music than in conversation.
Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can.
In the early 50s, Atlantic Records co-founder Jerry Wexler coined the phrase rhythm and blues. It was descriptive, it rang true, but perhaps most importantly, it was a polite and acceptable way of saying race music.
Race music is where it all began.
Jerry Boulding.
It began in the South, where the blues was almost a lifestyle for a lot of people. And there were little stations that just played blues and gospel, and they played it on Sunday. And when the early Pulse and Hooper rating services came out, and they began to look and they saw that these stations that played nothing but blues and gospel did pretty well. And so they began to allow other day parts, maybe an hour here, hour there, and it was race music. And all of a sudden, you had artists like Nat King Cole, Billy Eckstine, the Ink Spots, the Clovers, the Drifters, and suddenly you had enough for a format.
Radio stations like WLAC in Nashville, with a nighttime signal that covered more than half the country, pounded out R&B for an audience that just couldn't believe what they were hearing.
WLAC in Nashville was a 50,000-watt AM radio station that reached somewhere around 30 states. After midnight, it was all rhythm and blues. So you had guys like John R., Hossman, Bill Allen, and down in the South, the Wolfman, Wolfman Jack, operating out of a radio station in Mexico. So between those two radio stations, there was a lot of rhythm and blues music, a lot of black music being played, a lot of people hearing it that wouldn't have heard it.
Black radio at first was hardly mainstream, but it was exciting. And like early Top 40, the disc jockeys were stars as big or even bigger than the artists they played.
1213 on the Jerry B. Show as we dedicate this next particular tune to a superfine foxy young lady by the name of Gail, who's with her man right now digging the sounds that we're putting down on the Jerry B. Show. Gail, this is to you from our M, who wants you to know that if he had $1 million, girl, he'd give it all to you. But he has only himself, and believe you me, baby, that's worth more than $1 million.
WBLS New York, stereo in black, where you hear Carmen McRae,
Charles McMelvin, Van Potter, Jazz, Gene Ammon, Ron Clark, Herbie Hancock, Richie Hayes, Duke Ellington, Little Richard, O.C. Stokely Carmichael, Gladys Knight,
Ray Charles. All happening now on Stereo in Black. WBLS, the total black experience in sound. 107.5 in stereo.
I would be listening to people like Frankie Crocker,
Elroy Smith,
Ken Webb, who was on WBLS, Mary Thomas, Hank Spann, who was on WWRL, Bobby OJ, who was on the same station, Enoch Gregory, Jeffrey Troy, Gary Bird, the Black Experience late at night on RL.
Sonny Joe White, who went on to do really great things in Boston. Sonny Taylor wound up going to Chicago, did some nice things. Keith Adams came out of Louisville, Kentucky. Lee Michaels. These were some of the guys, along with Jim Maddox. He took over 1580 K-Day. And later he went to Magic in Houston, and he wound up at KMJM in St. Louis. And a lot of people said that KMJM was really Magic Jim Maddox. Those would be the guys that stand out in my mind as being some of the early African-American pioneers of the format.
By the middle 70s, Frankie Crocker's WBLS was on top of the 18 to 34 heap in New York.
Right on. Frankie Crocker.
And then what was happening? Black people turned on where they worked. Because there wasn't somebody coming on with jive talk, selling roaches and cheap wine, you know, and saying you didn't need any credit, and other people laughing and them feeling ashamed of the kinds of music they want. They were proud. They were proud that the people on the radio were intelligent and could speak to them and could speak to anybody. And they were proud to turn on, hey, that's our black stations. That's BLS. You don't know what's happening. Then the whites would listen to it. Hey, that's good. They got better music than this other station. The other station is jiving.
Urban radio was evolving into a force to be reckoned with. Part of the reason was how the music was changing.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, soul, I would say the 70s, the 80s, funk, latter 80s, Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang started up, and there was so much doubt that this form of music will last. Well, all of those people that doubted, they're incorrect. Hip-hop is here to stay. You know why hip-hop is here to stay? Because it's now a lifestyle. For Top 40 radio to be banging P. Diddy, to be playing Mystical, this is rap. This is urban. It's not like your Rapper's Delight. pretty melodic, and, you know, life goes on. They are getting into some real serious rap music.
Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. To the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, and the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the bang, bang, boogie. Let's rock. You don't stop.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Go, 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 shorty. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday.
But radio is more than music. Today, according to many, urban radio's biggest personality is ABC's Tom Joyner, the Fly Jock. In 1985, Joyner signed deals to do two shows, one in the morning at KKDA in Dallas, the other, afternoons at WGCI Chicago.
You know what I'm saying?
These some better brothers. They better. Yeah. They're some better brothers.
Don't believe the hype.
Tom Joyner. On Power 107.5 GCI.
Hit the phones, come on. Time to go for that Any Love to See, Any Love package. The one that qualifies you for the three-hop stop to go to New York and see Michael, Luther, and Prince perform. Seventh caller, 591 for GCI. Power 107.5 GCI. Sorry, you're the sixth caller.
Man, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Don't do me that way, Tom.
Later, man.
All right, now.
329. That means
he is the voice for millions of Black Americans, from interviewing Jesse Jackson, the Clintons. I mean, this guy literally can get whoever he wants on that show. And that's a show that Black America is very, very committed to.
I think Tom Joyner is an amazing entertainer, and he takes his entertainment beyond the radio show into the community and the culture.
Mike McVeigh.
I live in Cleveland. He just recently did one of his rallies there for education. Tom Joyner is going around the country saying that we, as African Americans, have to educate our children. So he's throwing his weight and his money behind that cause. In seeing it covered on all of the major television stations in Cleveland, here's a man who not only has Barbara Bird Bennett, the head of the school board in Cleveland, up on stage dancing with him, but the mayor of Cleveland, Jane Campbell, up on stage dancing with him. That's very powerful for his audience and very powerful for his radio station in Cleveland. So there's a direct link between that radio station, Tom Joyner, and the community. And it really embraces the community and makes those people say, you know what, if I'm African American and I'm going to be for the community and for the betterment of the children, then I have to be for Tom Joyner because he's for me. So I think the man's doing more than just great radio. He's giving something back to the community and to our lives.
What's true about urban radio today is the same thing that was true back in the day. It's all about passion.